Welcome back into the Morning Hookup. Happy hump day out there, Lincoln, Nebraska. And you know how we do it on a Wednesday? We bring our guy, Jameson Wells, from the West Coast to Middle America, baby. And he's on the line with us now. Jameson, what's good, my man?
Man, not much. Basketball season's over. Our NBA season's over. We have the Olympics. We got Summer League. Got free agency. Got the draft. But basically, you know, the games are done. Milwaukee came through last night and did what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, let's be honest, though. It's never really over, right? Basketball's never really over. You mentioned all the stuff that's still going on, but we got the draft. What is your downtime, with the NBA?
Downtime, honestly, there's really not now, especially with the offseasons being as short as they are now, there really is no downtime because I think they said like 70 or like 68 days to training camp, 63 days of training camp. You have the draft next week. You have Summer League in like 2.5-3 weeks. And then after that, you just got a month until, like, training camp starts. So, yeah, like, it's not a whole lot of downtime, to be honest with you. And then, you know, other sports coming to full swing. You know, training camp for NFL starts next week for a lot of teams. You have college football starting, and then baseball's in full swing. So there's really no, like, downtime, per se, like it usually is. Now, when the season's in normal shape, after summer league, and some people take summer league off because it's not important to everybody. But some people take summer league off in that they go from mid-July to, like, late September. But now it's totally jacked up with all the schedule changes.
James, you mentioned it right there. Bucks get it done. First title since 1971, 50 years. When you look back at this journey and what Giannis did in the closeout with 50 and 10, when you look at this team and the makeup, what was the ultimate thing that got this thing done for the Bucks?
Well, there's a couple of things. The one that I look at was they have the best player in the series. And whenever you have the best player in the series, and he's both player on both ends too, offense and defense. So he's able to control the game in so many different ways. The block shot, the weak side defense, the rebounding, and then also, the offense, man. Now he's not Shaq. I don't want to put that out there. He is not Shaq. Shaq was a different type of guy. But the numbers Giannis was putting up and the impact what he was having on the game was Shaq-like. Now, the one thing that I was impressed with Giannis was his free throw shooting. He made his free throws last night. If he continues to do that, we have a problem because Milwaukee's going to be here for a while if he's in free throws. He was on a mission. He was a man on a mission. They had a couple guys step up. Bobby Portis was consistent off the bench. And Phoenix really didn't have that consistent guy off the bench. Their starters were good, but they didn't have that guy come off the bench. Like Cam Johnson had a couple good games, but he didn't have a great series. They needed somebody to match Bobby Portis' stats and energy, and they never found that.
Oh, what about Frank the Tank, Jameson? No, I'm joking. Hey, but
he actually had some moments last night. I mean, he surprised all of us last night because he had some moments where, they're running plays for him and everything, but it was just, honestly, that's something they probably should have done early in the series because they were basically playing six guys, and that catches up with you as the series goes on.
Yeah, that's wild. And, you look at Ayton last night. Part of me was almost saying, wow, you might as well just keep playing Frank instead of Ayton because what was up with him last night?
And he's worn down, man. As good as he's been this whole playoff run, you got to remember, this is his first go-around. It's his first rodeo. Same thing with Bridges, same thing with Booker. Those guys have never played this deep before. The one thing about Milwaukee, they have their flaws, but they are battle-tested. They've been through long playoff runs, so they kind of know how things go. Those young guys, they played a lot of games, played six games in the first, four in the second, six in the third. So they had 16 games before the finals. And, the deeper you go into the finals, it's just different. Your body's never been there. You're playing a lot of minutes with not a whole lot of rest. One of those things where things just kind of got different. But I will say, Ayton was not used to someone being that physical with him like Giannis was. There was a couple times in the series where I saw Giannis, either hit him in the chest or, be physical with him, and Ayton didn't quite step up the next few possessions. So it's a learning aspect, but it's just Milwaukee's just an older, more experienced team.
Yeah, Jameson, talking about Giannis, we know he's dominant. We've known that for a few seasons, but last night, that's what everybody was talking about. Was last night's performance just something, so different?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, those performances in closeout games are different. It's one thing to do that middle of February. You know, that's one thing. But in the finals, and if you have those performances, those are less legendary stuff. Why, he put up Shaq numbers. All right, now, he is not Shaq, but he put up Shaq numbers. That's what it reminded me of. That's what it looked like. He was unstoppable. There was nothing that Phoenix could do. Now, Phoenix was very small, but when he put up those numbers, it's legendary stuff, man. It's a run that those don't happen every day. Like, we don't get those type of runs every night. So we got to appreciate it. Now, does he have flaws in this game? Of course he does. He's not the perfect player. But what he did in this series, especially with the way his knee looked like 3 weeks ago, man, it's special. Very special.
Jameson, also, I mean, you got Giannis there and obviously a supporting cast that was put together. Talk about the bond that you saw last night and throughout the 8 years together with Giannis and Middleton and what that meant for those guys to get it together. You know, Giannis talked about it in his post last night, the way he looked at Middleton and saying, that's my guy, we got it done. What did Middleton mean to this? Because if it wasn't Giannis as the MVP, it had to be Middleton.
Yeah, no, Middleton definitely played his part. You got to remember, Middleton has a max contract too. You know, he has his 5 for $180. Drew has this 4 for $160. So the role players are, you know, we'll call them that, but they're making star money. Mm-hmm. So they're doing what they're supposed to do. But Chris Middleton's gotten so much better. He was a guy that was a throw-in in a trade for Brandon Jennings, and now he's a all-star, an Olympian, and he's probably on the way to a Hall of Fame career if things keep on going this way. But, you know, a guy at 6'7", that can get his own shot, play pretty good defense, not afraid of the moment. He had a big, big bucket, a very big bucket last night to put him up. I think it was like 6 or 8. It was several, like, under 2 minutes. And that was kind of the ceiling. Once that happened, you kind of figured out, like, hey, they're going to, you know, come away with this. And that's something that may not have been the case a couple years ago. But it just all comes from just experience, just being there, just going through those wars they had to go through the last couple years. But, no, they are the team. They are that good. And when you have those two at the top and you have Drew playing the defense he does, and when his offensive game is there, you got a really tough team to deal with.
So, Jameson, what does Phoenix need to do in the offseason if they need to do anything? Like, let's say they try and bring everybody back, including Chris Paul. Do you think they need to add anything? You mentioned their bench.
You have to get more depth up front. You got to get a backup center for Ayton. That was their undoing. Like, they didn't have anyone that they could throw on Ayton or throw out when Ayton didn't have, or, you know, Ayton needed to run. They didn't have any. They had Frank. And they had the rookie they drafted last year that never played. So it kind of showed you the predicament they were in. They need a quality backup big guy. Plumlee, a Dwight, a McGee. Any of those would have helped out. Because you didn't even play 20 minutes. They played 10 to 15 minutes, they would have been just fine. But they didn't have that option to go to. And as you saw, Phoenix's bench got thinner and thinner as things went on. As games went on, their bench got thinner, their rotation got tighter. It was a very, very tough spot. As good as Crowder and Cam Johnson and Torrey Craig are, those aren't guys you want guarding Giannis. You don't want those guys on Giannis for a period of time. They're too small. They're too small, too short. And that was their undoing. But more depth. And honestly, they kind of have to figure out what they're going to do with their wings, because as good as Cam Johnson is, plays the same position as Jay Crowder, who makes $10 million. So you got to figure out who do you want to roll with going forward. Also, Cam Johnson's a little older and has knee issues. So do you want to sell high on him? Do you want to make him a starter? So they have a lot of decisions to make with their team. But they're in a good spot. Their core is a very good core going forward.
We're speaking to Jameson Wells, basketballnews.com. Jameson, you know, keeping the focus right there a little bit on the Suns. But Chris Paul, when you look at his career, the playoff frustrations continue. When you look at him, what is this? I don't know if this does anything to his legacy. Does it hurt it? Does it help it? I know he'll probably be coming back. Do you think he looked old in those playoffs? He played his age a little bit. Give me your thoughts on Chris Paul and where they go with him.
I mean, Chris Paul is Chris Paul. He's a great player. He's had a great career. He's older now, though. So Drew Holiday being able to basically, you know, pick him up full court every possession, not the same as it would have been 10 years ago. Just not the same. You're taking a lot of energy out of a guy that's asked to do a lot. Now, the one thing I would have done differently is I would have gotten Chris off the ball more. I would have had other players bring it up and then have Chris come get the ball later in the shot clock to conserve some energy. But that never happened, and that was kind of unfortunate because it kept on wearing Chris Paul down. He's just an older guy, and this is a young man's game. Basketball is a young man's game. Very few win titles in their late 30s. It doesn't happen, especially as a lead guy. Now, maybe the third or fourth guy, yeah, but as a lead guy, it's very difficult for a guy after 35. There's not a whole lot of guys that win championships after 35. That list is pretty short. So we'll see what happens going forward. I think in Chris Paul's best interest, it depends. He's going to get a lot of money offers from Phoenix, probably the Knicks and some other teams. But if he wants to win a championship, he may want to go elsewhere and take a smaller amount to try to figure out somewhere else.
Hey, James, along those lines as well, you tweeted out that Magic's out there tampering, man. When you look at his two tweets he put out last night, give me your thoughts, because one of them was, if Chris Paul opts out of his contract with the Suns, his first call should be from his best friend, LeBron James, and the Lakers. Also, a big three of LeBron, Chris, and AD will equal an NBA championship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the ideal situation for Chris Paul, because he doesn't have to do everything. As good as the Suns were, Chris Paul's workload was too much. At 36 years old, how many 36-year-old point guards, were doing great stuff at that age? It doesn't, that position does not age well. It never has. And with Chris Paul's body history, not a good situation. Now, is Chris Paul going to turn down $30+ million as the head of the Player Association? I don't think so. It's a really tough pill to swallow, because you're telling your guys to take the most money they can get, and if you're turning down $30+ million a year to take six, that's not going to happen. But if you're Chris Paul, this is a situation where you should probably look to win a championship, because if that's your goal. Now, if your goal is to cash out, to do that. But if you want to win a championship, he has to go to a team where he's not the best or second best player. He's going to have to go to a place where, my friends, if he would have moved to Milwaukee last year, that would have been ideal. That's the type of situation he needs to go to. But he can't be the best guy on the team and try to win a championship. That ain't going to happen.
We're talking to Jamison Welsh. One of the biggest storylines throughout this finals was having two teams that haven't been there in a very long time, two new teams, two teams that aren't superstar teams. But that's one thing I'm curious about, is when these superstar teams come back, the Warriors, when they get Klay back and Steph and all them, and the Bucks, when they have their big three healthy, if those were the cases, would we have these two teams in the finals, you think?
Man, so here's the thing. Now we can be honest about these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get the best team last night that won the whole thing. We got the team that, survived, and which is cool. That's fine. But we didn't get the best team in the league that won the whole thing. We didn't. We got, Milwaukee. They were healthy enough, and they figured it out, and they got it done. You got to give them props for that. But I think Brooklyn's a better team. Obviously out west, you have several teams I think that are just as good, if not better, if fully healthy. Lakers, the Clippers, when fully healthy, are better. So that's kind of how it goes. If Denver's healthy, you got a shot as well. It kind of shows you this is the first time in a while that the best team hasn't won. In the early 2000s or mid 2000s, we had some teams that won it and they weren't the best, but they found a way to win it, whatever. But this time around, it was interesting. It was very interesting, but that's how the season went. We knew with all the injuries, all the stuff going on, we knew there was going to be an outcome that was going to be different than the norm. And that's okay. That's what sports is about. Sometimes the best team doesn't always win, especially in a situation where there's a bunch of injuries and a bunch of stuff going on with the schedule and all that stuff. But it's good to see two different teams that normally aren't there. It's good for the casual fan. It's good for the league. It's good for small market. Even though Phoenix ain't a small market, but it's good for Milwaukee. Milwaukee is championship 50 years later, and you saw their 80,000 fans out there in the streets watching a game like that. That's a really good thing, really refreshing.
Jamison, this is a question I've been pondering a lot. And it was the influence of one Kobe Bryant, and Giannis spoke about it. And again, we go back and look at his tweet, my man, MVP greatness, next up championship. And Giannis last night gets it done. And Giannis says, Kobe Bryant thinks I can do it. I had to do it. When's the last player that we had? Obviously, the late, great Kobe Bryant is not with us. But when is the last time we had a player like Kobe that has had so much lasting influence on the game?
So here's the thing. One of the things that got overlooked when Kobe unfortunately passed away is we don't have that teacher anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have that star player that's a teacher. Not necessarily a star player that's going to bark at you and tell you what to do, but we don't have that guy that's going to teach the guys that are a step or two away. Like the guy like Jamal Murray, who's a step or two away from being a really great player. Obviously, Giannis a couple years ago he was close to being what he is today. Kawhi Leonard, we don't have that guy that's going to sharpen the skills of a guy like Kawhi Leonard or, anyone like that. We just don't have it. We don't have that guy anymore. Kobe was that guy who obviously was well-respected with his resume, but also he's going to teach you something and tell you something that's going to help your game out. Whether you choose to add it or not, it's up to you, but he was going to bring something to the table that was going to help guys out. And a lot of guys traveled to L.A. and in his gym way out there to get that knowledge, and that's unfortunately not there anymore. But a lot of guys he formed relationships with that people don't know about. And one of them was Giannis. Giannis went to L.A., worked out with Kobe, figured some things out. And, they had relationships just like Kobe and Kawhi did. Kobe and Jason Tatum did. I mentioned Jamal Murray earlier. A lot of guys who went out there to work out with Kobe, Kyrie Irving, Jrue Holiday, Anthony Davis. There's a lot of guys that, Kobe worked out with, gave tips to. But him and Giannis were close because Giannis was a big Kobe fan. Mm-hmm. Before he got his own signature shoe, that's the only shoe he ever wore. It was very interesting to see that. But it makes sense, man. People have to remember, I know people have different opinions on who's the best player and who's this and who's that, but for a lot of people, Kobe was their MJ. For a lot of generations, a lot of people, he was their guy, and it gets lost a lot because, the way time went and whatnot, but Kobe was the best player for a lot of people.
We have a few minutes left here with Jamison Welsh. Jamison, I always want to get an update with you on the Oakland Athletics situation. Ooh, I know yesterday the city council voted to extend the negotiation talks, if I'm not wrong. What does that mean?
They've been gone, man. Oakland doesn't want them. We've been through this before. We've seen this movie before. The Warriors is different because the owners were moving them to San Francisco once they bought that team 10 years ago. So we knew that was happening. The Raiders, that was rumored 5 years before it actually happened. But they don't want to spend the funds to build those guys new stadium. They don't want to deal with it. They're tied to the relationship between the franchise and the city has come to a point where it's beyond repair. And the A's executives have been out here for the last couple months. They're out here every week looking at different sites. It looks like it's probably going to be in Henderson somewhere when the time does come. Right. I hope it's in Summerlin because I have a house in Summerlin. I hope the property value goes up a little bit more, but it's probably going to be in Henderson. That's what it's probably going to be. It's just a matter of time. They'll probably play at the AAA stadium when it's announced because the AAA stadium is the best one in the country. They had a vote on and everything. The amenities, it's brand new for the most part. So when the time comes, I do believe we will see the A's play out here. Just a matter of time, probably as early as next season, because we see the Blue Jays play at AAA Stadium, and it's worked out temporarily. I see the same thing with the A's.
Well, and I saw that there's that new hotel/resort being built, like $4 billion, and it's supposed to have that big arena. That could definitely hold an NBA team, right?
That may not happen. So that's a ways away. There's some permanent issues in the location of that. Where it's located at is very shaky for the kind of money that's being spent. So we'll see. There's a lot of land there, but there's a lot going on with that. I would be kind of surprised if that got built up. If they started groundbreaking on that, I'd be surprised.
James, obviously you'll be eyeing the draft coming up. Reportedly, Cade Cunningham, everybody's at one. He won't conduct any other visits except for going to Detroit. If you had that crystal ball, man, give us a top five when the top five names are going to be called coming up.
Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, even though I don't think he goes to Cleveland. I think there might be a trade of some sort. Jalen Suggs at four, James Boatnight at five.
Okay.
Jameson, one last thing before we get you out of here, man. We heard yesterday that the Olympics being canceled is not off the table. $26 billion is a lot of money to just let go away. You think we're getting these Olympics, no doubt, right?
I mean, so 26 is a different number than I heard. I heard it was 15.
Okay.
And I heard it was 20 late last night. Now, 26, man, the show kind of has to go on at 26, but if this thing keeps on going around, like, and everybody has different opinions about it, and it's got to a point where it's become political, and that's not really fair, because we're dealing with people's lives, and people are humans, and whatnot, and I think we should consider that more than a political aspect of it. However, if this thing keeps on spreading the way it is in that area, you probably got to cancel or postpone the games. Like, I think that's probably the best situation for everybody involved until we figure something out, because right now, it's not a good situation. Like, it's a very unsafe situation. You got people traveling from all over the world. Some people have gotten vaccinations. Some people haven't. It's a really rough spot. If something happens during the games, you're going to have to cancel and postpone the games anyway.
Jameson, man, always a pleasure on a hump day, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Stay safe, and we'll catch up soon, my friend.
All good. You guys be good.
Thanks, Jameson.
That was Jameson Welch right there. BasketballNews.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, @ the THE Jameson on Twitter. Everyone have a great hump day. Thanks for listening to Morning Hook.